This is the Protect, Help, Give Show with Nathan Snar.
Welcome back, people, to another Protect, Help, Give podcast. I am your host, Nathan Snar. And do we have a doozy today? Guys, strap in and get your notebook out, iPad, cell phone, or whatever you take notes on, because today will be heavy note-taking, I guarantee it. My guest, Michelle Prince, is a best-selling author, motivational speaker, publishing expert, leadership coach, and CEO and founder of Performance Publishing Group, which is a partner publishing company dedicated to making a difference one story at a time. After learning valuable lessons on her own journey to live her purpose and passion, she helped thousands to become published authors through her consulting, courses, seminars, publishing services, and she also founded the book. She also founded Bookbound Workshop. She has published many successful books, including her best-selling Winning in Life Now and The Power of Authority. Michelle has been endorsed by some of the most influential speakers in personal development, people that I follow, that you follow, his very successful name, Zig Ziglar. She has even been honored to be named a Zig Ziglar brand ambassador. Michelle, how are you?
I'm great, Nathan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is going to be all mine. It's going to be the pleasure is all mine, all for the listeners, because we have a treat in what you can bring, the value that you could bring. You've been doing this for such a long time, and I always love the pre-talk before, obviously, you know, the actual interview. But I don't think the listeners know what they're getting into today. This is going to be a special one. I could already feel it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. So let's just, we have a handful of topics. I'm going to fire just right from the hip. You know, what is the power of your own story? Because you have a great story, and I'm assuming you leverage that story into all these amazing things that you have been done and helped other people do. So I guess, what is the power of somebody's story?
Yeah, so I mean, I figured it out firsthand. I didn't realize how powerful our stories are until I did get it out there and I wrote a book, and that's a long, crazy story. I didn't really intend to do it, but it happened, and immediately things started to shift. You know, I was the exact same person. I joke about it, but I was the exact same person the day before I wrote my book, the exact same person the day after. But yet all of a sudden I had all these different opportunities and you know, people reaching out to me to coach and to speak and to do things that I didn't have those opportunities before I got my story out there. So it's one of the reasons I'm so passionate, because every single person has a story. Everybody has something that they can share with someone else, personally or professionally, that can help them, can make a difference. And at the end of the day, that's what our stories are for, you know, to share it with other people. But there is really, you know, if done right, it literally can build a platform that enables you to grow a business, you know, make a bigger impact, make a difference, that kind of thing.
What do you mean by done right? Because everybody has a story, right? We're all unique. We're all individuals. We all have a path that, you know, has gone to where we are today. So what do you mean by, you know, packaging it the right way?
Well, I mean, doing it in a way that will build your authority. So I have to say, I'm going to be biased here because I do own a publishing company. So I do believe that your book is one of the greatest tools you'll ever have. Your book is your business card. So I've seen it happen for myself and for all the authors we've helped, that book is what opens up all the doors. It's not about the book, but it is one of the easiest ways to grow the other pieces of that platform. So what I mean by done right is, you know, to publish a book, to get it out in a physical form, to, you know, have an audio book, to take that content and repurpose it and build out a podcast and, you know, a digital platform, speaking even, that will tie in with that core message of the book and really just grow it. Again, just it's the same story, but it's from a perception perspective. Perception is reality. It's immediate credibility. People look at authors differently. They treat them differently. And so you have a story. Why not get it in the book so that you can build that authority?
I couldn't agree more. And it's obviously a lot of stuff that we talked prior before the interview, but I'm going to bring a lot of that into this, right? So what would you say, because you do own a publishing company and done amazing things. So what do you say to people like myself that have been told before, and everybody knows this, that are the listeners, have been told before that you don't have a voice, right? Like you have not accomplished enough to inspire, to speak on stage, write a book, and blah, 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 blah. It's all bullshit, right, at the end of the day. But how do you help people overcome that demon in their head in order to push forward to write a book, right? Or to even consider writing a book and consider start jotting things down, et cetera, et cetera. Because I'm assuming when you tell people, listen, your book is your business card, the biggest struggle people are going to have, and I know it from experience, is the fact of, well, I don't have anything to say, or I don't think anybody sees value in what I do. How do you go about it that way?
Well, I'll tell you just my own personal story, because I get it. And this is where I was. So, you know, I worked for Zig Ziglar right out of college, and that was just an incredible experience. And I was doing what I loved. I was passionate. I left there to go into technology. I was in software sales for the next 13 years. And while I was away, I secretly wanted to, you know, motivate, inspire, encourage people, you know, do the things I'm doing now, but I didn't really know how. And I always secretly wanted to write a book. I didn't dare tell anybody because I had all this mental junk. And every time I would think about, well, maybe I should write a book, instantly I would stop myself in my head. Who do you think you are? You don't have a story. Who cares about your story? You're no Zig Ziglar. And I would do that for years. And I'm not kidding you, Nathan. I mean, I truly, truly, there was just this head junk going on. And I had an epiphany moment. It was in 2009, and I was at an event supporting a friend. And I just had this moment of clarity where, you know, for so long, I'd say, you know, I want to write a book. Well, you know, not me, not me, not me. Like, who do I think I am? And then I had a moment of, well, why not me? You know, what if I just write a book for my kids? What if I had two kids at the time in elementary school? And I thought, you know what? I want them to know my story. I want them to learn some of the things I learned from Zig Ziglar. I'm going to put it in writing. And why not me? And so I had that shift in mindset. And can I tell you, for all those years, I wanted to write a book and I stopped myself because of my limiting beliefs. The moment I said I'm going to do this, that next day, not exaggerating, I got on my computer, I started to type, and 3 weeks later, I had a full book done. So for somebody who kept saying I had nothing to say, I had a lot to say, and it wasn't until my mindset shifted that I was able to get it out. And it's one of the reasons, like, I do this workshop called Bookbound, and people come because they want to write a book, right? We'll teach you how to write, publish, and market a book. But what I don't always tell everybody is where we start. And we start with the mindset, because you can know everything there is to do to write a book, to start a podcast, to be a speaker. But if you don't have that belief system in place and have it, you know, and really work on it, because we all have to work on it, you're not going to do it, because you'll be held back just like I was. So I see it. And I just want you to know it's not only common. I think this imposter syndrome affects pretty much everyone that's called to bigger things, you know, and we're all called to do more with our stories. It's just getting over our head junk to just do it.
I love it. So what was the first book that you published? Was it The Power of Authority?
No, that was my fourth or fifth. My first book was Winning in Life Now, How to Break Through to a Happier You. And the truth is, I wrote that book never intending to share it with a soul other than my family. So it is my story of my ups and downs in life and things that I learned, you know, because I love personal development, things I learned by working with Zig. He wrote the foreword. I published it. I held it in my hand, and I probably told five people. And somebody challenged me after somebody in this industry challenged me and said, you know, you talk about wanting to make a difference, but you can't make a difference if you don't share your story. And so that is when I decided to, okay, I'm going to market this. I'm going to get it out there and let's just see what happens. And, you know, famous last words, because not immediately, but over time, that literally opened up a full-time business of speaking and coaching and doing seminars. And now I help people with their story, not because it's about a book. I don't publish books because I'm a publisher. I publish books because I see firsthand what happens when you put yourself out there and the power. So Power of Authority is my latest book. And because I really do believe business owners can leverage their authority by putting it in a book.
So yeah, let's talk about that book then. So Power of Authority, you know, tie in a lot of this stuff, bring it full circle. Mm-hmm. The Power of Authority, tell us about that.
Yeah. So the power of authority is just all about how to really leverage what you already know and putting it out there in a way to, you know, have more credibility. And so targeting business owners, founders, leaders, people that maybe either they want to take their business to the next level, or perhaps they want to be a leading authority. Maybe they want to build a business. And the things that you're already sharing with your clients, the things that you probably already have out there that you're sharing on a podcast, it's all part of your story. And so by getting it out, so it's really walks them through this framework of building your authority. Now, it's not just about writing a book, though, because there's, you know, there's so many other ways that I recommend people do, and podcasting is one of those. I feel like it's just easiest when you start with the book, because the book becomes the framework then for everything else you do. It's the same core message, just repurposed in different media outlets. So,
yeah, you're not kidding. It's kind of like it becomes the foundation of your house, right?
Yeah.
Of like your business house. And I love the tagline, your book is your business card, because never heard it before, but that makes so much more sense. Because when you have the book and you've written a book, it comes with a lot of credibility, as
yeah.
you said, you know, and it opened up probably endless amount of doors just because you wrote that one book. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. And it's funny, actually, your book is your business card is the title of my third book. And I'm going to show it to you because it truly is my business card. So this little book, it's just a little tiny book, but it has some great information to get people started on how to write a book, publish a book.
You're fine. Keep going. Yeah, you're great.
Okay. I give it away. So whenever I'm speaking or when I meet somebody, instead of exchanging business cards, I do exchange business cards, but mine is a book. And I've had more business from this little book than anything, because people will throw away a business card, but they will not throw away a book. Even if they never intend to read it, there's just some value we place on books. So whether it's a tiny book, like we call these our business card books, or a full book, or whether you're in a chapter in somebody else's book, the published author authority is the same. And again, when leveraged, and when you see it that way, that it is, you know, an opportunity to market yourself and stand out from your competition a little bit, it just works.
I love it. Nope, I could not agree more. So let me ask you a personal development question.
Yeah.
All those years that it took for you to get over the hump of obviously writing a book, and you had probably one of the most amazing mentors ever in Zig Ziglar. What is the piece of advice that you give yourself, you know, at the beginning to not waste time? I'm a big believer that, you know, this moment right now is the only moment that's promised. Tomorrow's not promised. You know, next year's not promised, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we all know that from losing family members, friends, and students. And it's just true, right? And I think the more that people understand that and grips with that, the faster that they'll accelerate their business and, mm-hmm. You know, their personal life, their family life, et cetera. So what would you say are three pieces of advice if your younger self prior before all this amazing career that you have?
Well, the first piece of advice is, I'd say, working on mindset sooner rather than later. You know, before I got to the point of really deciding to write my book and stepping into, you know, what I feel like now is my part of my calling. I had a friend who was actually becoming a coach, and part of her certification was she had to do some free coaching, and she asked me to be kind of a guinea pig. but it was mindset coaching, and it was beliefs, and it was all these things that I thought I had a pretty good handle on, because I mean, after all, I worked with Zig Ziglar, I knew these things. But you don't all, just because you know what to do doesn't mean you always do it. And you can get into ruts, right? And so I was working on my belief system and realizing, wow, you know, maybe I do have some limiting beliefs, and maybe I'm not really seeing my full potential the way I should. And that shifted a lot for me. And it got me to the place to be able to have the courage to move forward with my writing my book. So that's number one. Number two, and this was a quote I didn't create. Somebody said it. I don't know who, but I had it on my desk, and it said, you don't have to get it right to get it going. I think a lot of times we wait until we have it all figured out to do it, until you have it all perfect to just jump. And the other quote I would tell myself is, sometimes you just have to jump and hope that the wings grow on the way down. because you don't know if it's going to work, but that's okay. You doesn't have to be perfect, but you do have to get moving. You have to do something. And then I guess my third piece of advice is don't do what I did. I started, I wish I could say I had this grand plan to do, business plan to have to do what I'm doing now. I didn't. I just wrote a book and it opened up these things. But my advice would be, you need to, even if you just write a book for your kids or something, you need to look at it as a business. And if you really want to help people, and you're the king of sales, so you know this, if you really want to help people, you got to get over the fact, and again, the head junk, that what you offer is valuable. And approach it as that. Don't give away things for free just because you're doing it. I used to say when I first started and people would ask me to help them with books or with their confidence or any of that stuff, I'd say, oh, I'll just do it for free because I love this stuff. And I do. But then I realized I wasn't serving anyone. And, when you value your people, will believe in you to the exact degree you believe in yourself. And when you value yourself and the services you're offering, people will as well. And so you have to put a price point on that and don't be afraid to charge and charge well for it. I didn't do that initially.
Yeah, I think that's the challenge, right? I think that everybody has value. I don't care who you are, what walk of life you have, you've been doing. Everybody has value. The crazy thing that I've noticed, and I'm assuming you definitely noticed as well, is a thing like the superpower that people have, the value that they have, they tend to give it away for free because they love it so much.
It means
nothing to them because they just love doing it. They get way more out of doing it than they do, vice versa, right, on the other end. So that's the value that they believe that they get. But like you said, if you're doing it over and 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 over again, at some point in time, you should have that aha moment that I am giving a piece of myself away every time I do this. And it's not that you absolutely want to monetize everything that you have and can bring people, but it's the fact that, like what you said, the more you believe in yourself, the more people are going to believe in what you're doing. And it's having the understanding that, yes, the value that I have does cost money, because if you went elsewhere, it's going to cost X amount of dollars. I'm giving it to you for free. And it devalues it every time you give it away for free. Even though on your end it doesn't devalue it, on their end it can be devalued. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And one thing I could add to that is, really an advice, I guess, is really getting clear on what your strengths are. What are your gifts? What are the things that are just so unique to you? And most of the ones that are our greatest gifts are the things we do take for granted. I'll give you a quick example. So before I kind of launched out and when I was still in my software job, I went to a conference with a friend from college, and she and I were just sitting there and we're at this American Airlines Center, which is, 40,000 people, maybe more. I don't even know. And there was a group of women speakers in the middle of this arena talking to thousands of people. And I look over to my friend, I'm like, oh my gosh, wouldn't you love to be a speaker at an event like this? And she looks at me with a sheer face of terror. And she says, not only would I never step foot on that, or no, not only would I never speak at a conference like this, I would never step foot on a stage in front of that many people. And I had one of those moments where I was like, really? Like, I just thought everybody loved to speak or everybody loved to write or everybody, again, things we take for granted. And that was the beginning. It didn't happen overnight, but that was the beginning of me like, huh. Well, maybe I should, get my voice out there and speak because I love it. It comes natural, but it's every one of us has something like that,
Right. No, you couldn't have said it better because not everybody actually loves to be on stage. I'm with, my wonderful wife. She absolutely hates when the eyes are on her. And I love it. Like, that's my happy place. Like, I could do that every day of my life and be 1000% content and probably the happiest ever. She dreaded when we got married because she's like, I got to do that long walk and all eyes are on me. And I'm like, I'll do the walk for you if you want me to. Like, I could do it because I love it. And it's having that aha moment that the things that you believe are easy and simplistic, others not only others, but probably thousands and tens of thousands and millions of people do not feel that way. And with you having that passion, having that value in doing something, that is something you market. That is something that you can do. You love doing it. Everybody says, if you love doing what you do, like if you love what you do as a job, you're never going to work a day in your life. And that's what they mean by that. So if you guys have not gotten that aha moment, let Michelle give you that aha moment, because that's what she's saying. It's very simplistic. So how do we propel that and help others step into their greatness? Well, how do we go from there to helping people to step into their greatness?
I think it starts with just looking at what do you have? You know, one of the exercises we do with our authors to help them figure out their topic is to get them clarity on, you know, who they are, because your story is you. I mean, it really is. And at the end of the day, it's the things we overlook that really are it's the story of our life. So, is helping them to do that. So that's really the first step, because there's no question if you have a story. I mean, if I had 10 minutes, I mean, honest to God, if I had 10 minutes with anybody, I mean, I'll even do a challenge. Maybe I should do a challenge. 10 minutes. I can guarantee.
I love challenges.
Maybe I should, because I've yet to meet somebody that I couldn't help them figure out what their story is. Doesn't mean it's going to be a book. Because here's the thing. You need to know your story for more than just building a business. It's really just, you know, what do you bring to the world? And whether you're sharing that over coffee with a friend or you're sharing it from a stage or a podcast mic, you know, what is it that you could help somebody with? And that's really the first key. And then what you do with it now, and you know what it takes to build and to build a platform and sell and all of that stuff. You have to put systems in place and things in place to be successful with it. But, you know, first starts with just, it's kind of like just looking in first before you start doing all the external stuff.
I love it. Oh, I could not agree more. So how do you help balance a lifestyle? Right? I think that's probably everybody's challenge, especially when you're building your own brand. Yeah. Or if you're writing a book or whatever it is, because definitely if you're writing your book as your own business card, it's pretty hard not to work all day, every day. Right. And I know that's probably every spouse's every entrepreneur spouse or partner. That's probably what they say. They're never not working. They're just working all the time. It can be like 2 a.m. in the morning, they get a phone call and they're immediately going to work. That's so what is your, you know, stance or how do you coach and help people of how to balance their own lifestyle?
Well, when I wrote my book, I wasn't starting a business. Like I mentioned, I had 2 kids in elementary school, kindergarten and second grade. I was working a full-time software sales job, traveling, doing demos. I was active in my community, my church. I was so busy. I didn't have time to write a book. But side note, sometimes though, when you're doing something that you're passionate about, it's like, it's amazing how passion will pull you. You don't have to push it. So I was getting up earlier. I was staying up later. And one of the things that I figured out really, really quick was, if I'm really going to do this, I need to figure out how to manage my time better. And I kind of became a student of that. In fact, my second book I wrote was called Busy Being Busy, But Getting Nothing Done. Because it was all about, like, you could just have a lot of activity and still get nothing done. So my big take of all of that stuff is, it's boundaries. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I make a really, really, really big effort to set boundaries, especially while my kids were home. I'm just now an empty nester, but when my boys were home, every single day I had a standing appointment in my calendar, whether I was driving them to school or not. But to take that, basically I had an hour blocked off so that I could be there in the morning. And then every single day picking them up from school. And that was a boundary. And so if somebody said, hey, can we do a call at 3 o'clock? No, I already have an appointment scheduled. And I stuck by it because you have to know your priorities first, right? Because there will always be opportunity to work. And then my other boundary, I was very strict with this again, because my kids were young and I didn't want to miss anything. I did a lot of coaching in the early days, one-on-one coaching, and I would not coach on evenings or weekends because I was either on a baseball field, a soccer field, you know, tennis court, you name it, because my kids were really involved in sports. And that was my time. So if I had a client who said, well, excuse me, I can only work with you evenings, I'd say, well, then I'm not the right fit for you, because I've very, you know, that's my family time. So But it was hard at first, especially starting a business because I wanted the revenue, but then realizing that that's long-term not going to make me happy or my clients happy. So setting boundaries is one of my biggest pieces of advice. In fact, Henry Cloud wrote a great book called Boundaries. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it, business owner or not.
No, I agree. And it's funny when you have, you know, those times that you're saying that, you know, you're technically on a quote unquote appointment, but you're doing something with your family. If you do take an appointment, your mind's split anyway.
Yes.
Right? Because you're thinking about all that other stuff while trying to help somebody else. And I think that they would ultimately appreciate it. At just telling a client that, right? Hey, I want to work in the evenings, or I need to see you in the evenings. And listen, I apologize. I would love to help you. However, that's just a time frame that I have set for my family, no matter what. I hope that you can respect that. And typically they're going to say, okay, yeah, I get it. I have a family myself, you know, on my end. So it's it can be very complex, but I think that the faster you learn how to set boundaries, and ultimately not only setting the boundaries, but saying no to the people that are wanting to schedule those boundaries, because whether you like it or not, you set a boundary, for some odd reason, you're going to get like blasted in that time frame.
Yep.
It happens to me all the time. Like, hey, I can't do anything from 4 to 7 o'clock at night on Thursdays, because that's when my kids go to swimming and then we go get ice cream and yada, yada, yada. Immediately when we set that time frame up and that boundary, I swear to God, it was almost like every week somebody like from corporate was trying to set a Zoom or trying to do a meeting or trying to do a coaching call. And I'm like, it's just funny when you set it up. And I think it's a test, right? It's kind of like testing you a little bit on, okay, well, how important is this? Are you actually going to stick to it, right?
You know, it's funny, when I was in corporate, because when I first wrote the book, you know, I was still working a sales job, and I set my own appointments and my sales calls. I was in sales. So I'm the one who put them in my calendar. It never occurred to me to block out time for like my family and that kind of stuff. And then having the guts to say, oh, I can't do 3 o'clock, but I could do 4 or I could do 2. And then the moment I had that, I'm like, wait a minute. It's an appointment just like any other appointment. Nobody else knows what other appointment I'm on. Why would what? So I started doing that while I was even in corporate. And it wasn't like I wasn't taking advantage of it, but if I needed that 30 minutes to drop my kids off at school, I did it. And once I had that freedom to be like, it's an appointment just like any other, as if I was with a client, it's that important to me and I'm going to do it. And it's amazing how people are like, oh, okay, you're not available. Okay, well, what about 9:30 or what about this, you know?
Yep. You don't tell them, hey, I gotta go drop my kids off. Just say, I have an appointment at that time. Right. Yeah. I think that's everybody's misconception, is they want to justify and tell the client why they cannot be on. And I tell people all the time, you don't owe them anything. You do not owe them an explanation.
That's right.
Right. You don't need to. It's like the doctor's office or any other appointment you have. You're not calling and being like, you should not. And I know people fall to this. I'm sorry, I couldn't make it because blah, 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 blah. They don't need it, right? You telling them that is just kind of, in my way, my opinion, is to try and justify yourself of why you can't do something or why you can't make it. That's also a power. Once you get to the point where you no longer have to explain yourself of why you can't do something, that is a crazy power, same way by telling people no. You just go, I'm sorry, I already have an appointment. I'm what about 9? What about 10?
Right.
You know, what about 11? Yeah. And just leaving it at that, you don't need to justify. And I think we're in the justification era where everything needs to be justified. And if you're making your own schedule as an entrepreneur, you do not have to justify why you have an appointment, why that time block is already taken. You don't have to.
No, you don't. No, you don't. And nobody is going to own your time but you. And you know, you can be reactive or, you know, proactive on that. And so if working out is important to you, schedule it, block it in your calendar. If date night with your wife is important to you, schedule it, block it out, your kids, all of that. And then it's amazing how everything else will fall into place. I love time blocking. That's one of my go-tos. In fact, I couldn't live without time blocking in my calendar.
No, and listen, I every So one of the things, one of the main reasons why I love talking to people, and I love talking to very highly successful people, is trying to find habits and ways that they are constructing their lives in order to be so highly successful.
Yeah.
And it is super funny to me that one of the main reasons why people are so successful in the entrepreneur era, whether it doesn't matter what they do, whether it's real estate, whether it's mastermind, whether it's, you know, branding, publishing, it doesn't matter. If your scheduling is not right, you are not. And they schedule everything. It could be as tedious as I'm going to go eat lunch. Or like you said, it's time for me to drop my kids off. And then once that time happens, it doesn't matter, you know, what you're doing. I'm done. I'm sorry. I need to go to my other appointment. Thank you so much. We'll wrap up next week. Yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And they are very, they own their time. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that most entrepreneurs don't know or believe is they, and especially spouses and partners, they believe that the clients own their time. And I think if you can take that back
and
flip it and actually own it, and you own your time, like you said, miraculously, everything will fall in the other cracks that are available.
Yeah.
Guys, like I said, this is going to be heavy note-taking. This is something you need to know and master. I promise you, probably the faster you master your schedule and master that side of it, you will accelerate so flipping fast. It's going to be crazy, right? Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. In fact, I have my calendar open. I'm looking at it. Like, I even schedule silly things. Like, well, it may sound silly to someone else, but it's important to me. But like later this evening, I already have it in my calendar to go to the post office because I'm mailing a care package for my son. That's important to me. I don't want to forget it. So I'm scheduling it. I'm putting it in my calendar. I mean, I schedule everything, personal and professional, preparing a proposal. I time block that just so that I get it all done. And that's how else do you do it? And here's the thing. We all have 24 hours in a day. Some people are crazy successful with their 24 hours and others flounder and can't get anything done. And I'm not saying I'm perfect in it at all, but I had to figure out my schedule when I was starting to be so busy and doing a full-time job and building a business and running kids and, you know, all over the place. And so it's very, very doable. But to your point, every other person that I know that is extremely successful, they manage their time. They do a time capsule every morning, meaning that they own that time for themselves to do something that matters to them, whether that's to read or do a devotional or to work out or whatever, but giving yourself as much time as you give to your clients.
I mean, hell, you worked for Zig Ziglar for I don't know how many years, but I'm assuming his schedule was pretty jam-packed, but it was all, everything was scheduled. There was not chaos of, hey, what do I do today? You should never, as an entrepreneur, you should honestly never wake up thinking, what do I do today?
Yeah.
Schedule needs to be, even if it's an off day and you're just going to set it for your entire family, your calendar should be blocked out, family time, right? I don't care what it is. So I think that's such a key note that almost everybody overlooks and overthinks because they think about revenue and meeting clients and activity and yada, 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 which are everything that you do need.
Mm-hmm.
However, make your schedule a priority and take your time out.
So, mm-hmm.
Before we wrap up, on any of my podcasts, I had this question asked to me, and I think it's the most important question ever. I always ask it to every guest. What is one question, Michelle, you wish I would have asked you? Completely empty your tank on this podcast. What's one question you wish I asked you? And if there is no question, then we did our job. If there is a question, say it and let's answer.
Gosh, you've done a really good job. I feel like you've gone through so much of it. Let me think. Well, I know you are thinking about writing a book, so maybe more specifically of how to do that.
I love it.
Not there.
I love it. So how, I guess, I answer, you know, quickly of how, and this actually goes into it, right? So how people connect to you with you anyway. So if somebody's interested in writing a book, they truly want to make their business card a book. How do we go about that? How can people connect with you and you help them with that process?
Well, I would definitely love to. I mean, I do free webinars. I'm not sure exactly when this will launch, but I do a free webinars called The Power of Authority. But Bookbound is something that I think whether you do it virtually or in person, is this, it's the 2-day event that I do to help people to do the book and all that, but it's more about that clarity. And that would be something I recommend, bookboundworkshop.com. But also, you know, I love helping people to figure out their story, whether you write a book or not. So I do strategy calls, either me or my team, but we do free strategy calls, and you can just book those at performancepublishinggroup.com and schedule some time and see if there's a book in you.
Absolutely love it. You've been one amazing, incredible guest. Thank you so much for taking the time out today. And I can't wait to have you on again. I think it's something special. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Nathan. I had a great time.
All right, guys, until next time, continue to get better every day. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. If this content is delivering value, I empower you to subscribe, rate, and review us. Our goal is to help a lot of people create life-changing wealth and get better every day. For more information or comments, please reach me at nsnar@appreciationfinancial.com or connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Nathan Snar. Keep striving for more, and we will see you next time.
This is the Protect, Help, Give Show with Nathan Snar.